We're going to have our scripture reading now. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26, and Lamentations 3, 18 to 26. And Simi is coming to read that for us right now.
Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And from Lamentations 3, verses 18 to 26. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed for his compassion, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and starting with verse 22. Last week, Jonathan concluded his sermon by a quote from Dr. C.J. Rolls, who characterized the ninefold fruit of the Spirit as eight elements of love. He said He said that joy is love's cheerfulness. Peace is love's confidence. Patience is love's composure. Kindness is love's considerateness. Goodness is love's comeliness. Faithfulness is love's constancy. I like the word commitment, but they will all begin with a C. And he had gentleness is love's comeliness. Again, he used that. So we could say compassion. And self-control is love's conquest. When Paul opened up the sermon series for us, he more or less said the same thing. He stressed that all the fruit mentioned is grounded in love. And the following week, Alistair spoke about joy that comes from within, and it's not based on our circumstances. This is something that the world gets the idea that, oh, everything's happy, that's good. But the joy is something deeper. It's something that is with you the whole time, regardless of the situation. It's the love of the joy of Christ. Peter continued the following week with peace. Now, peace is something that we all desire. Don't we all want peace? The number of times I've heard it, oh, if it just things would be peaceful, if the world would be at peace. But he said the way that we receive peace is from the Bible. Just take the word of God and act upon it. It's not just talking about it, but it's acting upon it. And then Jonathan, like I said, spoke about self-control in our thoughts, the imagination, in our words, and the actions that we speak. And he also brought out how it should be in cooperation of the Holy Spirit and us working to produce that fruit. And today's subject is faithfulness. I suppose you've noticed that we're not doing these in order, the way that Paul writes him in Galatians chapter 5. Had you noticed that? It's just to keep you on your toes. Some commentators have said that they divided the ninefold fruit into three groups. Inward as love, joy, peace. Outward, patience, kindness, and goodness. Upward, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But another man had commented, he put them in a different way. He said Godward would be love, joy, peace. Manward would be patience, kindness, and goodness. And selfward would be faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That may be helpful to you. But as I looked at them, I thought, really? Every part of the fruit is inward, outward, and upward. And never more so in this one that we're going to be have today, which is self-control. Almost forgot what I was preaching about. I didn't hear that. Never mind. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is a characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read these ninefold description, you realize that they describe Jesus in his actions, in his relationship with one another, and also towards God. And therefore, it should be obvious to us that if these are the characteristics of Jesus, and when we become a Christian, Christ dwells within us, these should be evident in our own lives. People should see in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives within us. And therefore, we should grow and become more and more like Jesus. Now, the fruit is not manufactured. It's got to be grown. It's something that we cannot conjure up or imitate. Now, I will admit, sometimes people can show love, joy, peace, and patience. Even sometimes better than professing Christians. But it doesn't last. It's only sort of a temporary thing because they can't do something that the Holy Spirit's not with in us. It's by the Holy Spirit living in us that it really happens. See, with the Holy Spirit's working in us, we have a responsibility. Though the Spirit's working, we have a responsibility. Jonathan said something like that last week, didn't he? He said, working together, we cannot make it grow and produce. It's God that does that. We got to let God do it. Just as a farmer does his plants his field, he can't make that seed grow into something so that he can harvest it the year. He has to plant it and let God let it grow. And God's the one that makes it grow. So it is with us. But the farmer has to tend the fields. He has to tend his crops. He's got to help it. And that way, that's the way he makes it grow, for the best crops that he could produce. And so we must tend to the fruit that God has given us. And I think Paul lists three ways that this can happen. First of all, he says, crucify the flesh. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, don't live to please yourself. Don't live to satisfy self. Paul wrote something similar to the church at Colossae. He said, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Sometimes we need to be harsh. Sometimes it's that pruning. You have to prune out the waste so it'll produce better and good. You got to weed the garden. Get rid of anything that would hinder our walk with Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says you got to keep in step with the Spirit. For this fruit to grow and produce, we must live by the Spirit of God. We must follow him, walk with him, and submit to his word. And thirdly, he says there, since we live by, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In other words, let's be humble. When we become so proud, it just chokes out everything that would make good for us. The other thing to note is that fruit needs to be eaten. displayed and lived out, not just admired. Sometimes we just, oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? You don't do that with fruit. If there's a nice banana or a nice juicy peach, you want to eat it, don't you? Well, I do. And didn't we have some good fruit? Ladies, did you notice how healthy we ate at the weekend? It was good, healthy food. Well, it was. And nicely presented. That's what I was impressed with as well. You know, God wants spiritual fruit, not spiritual nuts. And I think you know what I mean by here, don't you? Sometimes Christians can act in such a odd, strange way that it puts people off. Nuts are hard, and they got to be cracked. But fruit, on the other hand, is pleasant, enjoyable, and you just want to reach out and take it. Whoops. I think I'm about, oh, whoops, have I gone too far? No. Okay, good. God is the supreme example of faithfulness. In our readings and Lamentations, Jeremiah laments the situation that Israel is in and what God has done to discipline them. Notice what he says there in verse 18. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Really at depths in, isn't he? And he says then, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah could wait upon the Lord because he knew that God was faithful. He would come to the rescue. He would keep to his words. Time and time again, we read in the Old Testament that how God was faithful to his people. Time and time again, the Israelites strayed from God. They went their own way. But God remained faithful to his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He kept truthful to his word, ever faithful. He's faithful to his character. He is dependable. He does not lie. He's not changeable like the weather that we have. This morning was changeable too, wasn't it? Sunshine, rain, sunshine, wind. God's steadfast. He's the right. In a biblical context, faithfulness refers to both God's unwavering commitment and the expected adherence of believers to him and his commands. It's about trust, loyalty, consistent devotion, reflecting God's reliable nature and his people's response to the character of his promises. Faithfulness means unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into constant practice regardless of the circumstances. That describes God. There's five characteristics of faithfulness, and they reflect who God is. Loyal, trustworthy, steadfast in love, patient, and committed. And when we begin to embrace these characteristics of faithfulness, we learn to be faithful to God, to ourselves, and others, because Jesus is consistently faithful to us. What are the benefits of God's faithfulness? Well, the benefits are unbounded. Every blessing we have comes because of God's faithfulness to us. The salvation that we have. And he is faithful to his promises. The weight of our expectation is based on the promise of God. That was Jeremiah's hope. And you know, this aspect of faithfulness should be displayed in our lives by our faithfulness to God. Faithfulness comes from a peace, trust, and loyalty. As a Christian, it's important to be faithful to God. It's one thing simply to believe in Him, but another to be faithful to Him. We can say, I believe, but that should lead to actions. Just as God is loyal, trustworthy, steadfast, patient, and committed, so we should be to God. He does not deny us. Even when we are perhaps ashamed of Him, He's never ashamed of us. He was willing to be associated with us, willing to be called brothers when Jesus came down from this earth. He came down. So too we must remain faithful to Him. We need to be faithful to our church. Now that's a challenge to each of us, isn't it? We mustn't neglect the meeting together, just as a Hebrew writer wrote. You know, when I'm attending Bible college in the States, there was people in the college, families, and they went from one church to one church to one church, flitting, boing, boing, boing. They were looking for the perfect church. They were looking for the church that they had back home. They didn't get themselves established. They were not faithful to what they were to do. Commitment is what is needed. And there were others in churches who come, take part, do things, but only when it's convenient to them. When they have nothing else to do, when nothing else is happening. I really believe that we need to make it a priority to tend regularly, to take part in our churches. We need each other. And that faithfulness also includes giving to the church. Our time, our talents, and our money. You know, there's something each of us can do in the church by showing our faithfulness. We can help or teach in the Sunday school, in the youth. The holiday Bible club is coming up. That's something everybody can get involved in and something that we are all needed in. We can welcome people at the door. We can provide the flowers. I notice they're quite beautiful today, aren't they, again? You know, we are blessed by these, but it's not just for a separate few. But all of us can get involved in these kind of things. Setting out the communion, serving coffee and teas, gardening in the chapel, visiting the lonely, working back there with the tech people. How much that is needed there as well. And you say, oh, Wayne, we're so busy. Our family life is completely, you know, from Monday to Sunday, we are busy, busy, busy. I say this with all gentleness. If we are too busy to be faithful to our church, we are too busy. Let's get our priorities right. Faithfulness to our families. As the Spirit works and develops the fruit, faithfulness to our families should be evident. Sadly, too often we hear of families splitting up, breaking up, people being unfaithful to their spouses or to their children. They're only selfishly thinking to themselves. Jesus gave Himself for us, so we ought to give ourselves to our families, being faithful and honoring one another. You know, we are so blessed in Bluntisham Baptist Church. So blessed. There are so many couples, so many families here, where they've been married 30 plus years. That's a testimony. That is something to be, in the right way, proud, I suppose. Because it's an example to those, to the young people in the church, that people stick together. It's an encouragement to young married couples. They say, I'm going to strive for that. Let's be faithful to one another. How important it is for that. And lastly, let's be faithful to ourselves. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, Really? But no, it is important. Being faithful to ourselves. It being faithful to oneself involves prioritizing one's values, goals, and well-being. It means aligning our actions with our core beliefs, pursuing dreams and integrity. This includes setting boundaries, discipline, practicing self-care, and acknowledging our personal limitations. Let's not go beyond what we think we can do. Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's strive to be faithful, just as God has been faithful to us. When we fail, and I think sometimes we do, we have a God who is gracious and who is willing to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's turn to Him when these times happen. He is faithful. He will forgive. Because He is faithful, He won't deny Himself. Let's have a moment of quiet prayer. What a faithful God you are to us. What a great example. And Father, your Spirit lives within us. And may that fruit of your Spirit grow in us. That people will see our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our goodness, our kindness, our faithfulness, our gentleness, our self-control. May it grow and grow. Help us to be your kind of people. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.